Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So, this story really appealed to me. And it's about a lawyer and a pensioner. And they're on a journey to London. And the lawyer is actually exasperated with the time it's taking, etc. And comes up with an idea that he feels that the pensioner will engage with. And he says, look, let's have a quiz. I'll ask you a question. If you get it wrong, you pay me £5. You ask me a question. If I get it wrong, I'll pay you £100. So this pensioner goes, I think I might be okay here. So the lawyer says, okay, let me start, please. I want to get on with this. Right. What is the distance in kilometres between the Earth and the Moon? And the pensioner does that. Because I haven't a clue. And unfortunately, he has to get his £5 out of his wallet and hands it over to the lawyer. So the lawyer says, okay, come on. Tell me your story. Come on. What's your question? So he goes, okay, this is my question for you. My question is, what goes up a hill with four legs and comes down a hill with three legs? The lawyer's totally bemused by what he's just been asked. Phones a friend, looks on Google, gets more and more exasperated, and eventually realizes he cannot answer this question that comes from this very wise pensioner, and gets his £100 out and hands it over to the pensioner. The pensioner by this time has now rolled over in his seat and is quite resting and asleep. But eventually, the lawyer is more and more exasperated with the position he's in. And he says, okay. What is it that goes up a hill with four legs and comes down a hill with three legs? At which point the pensioner reaches into his wallet and hands him a £5 note. Very good. You did laugh. A few got smiles. Oh, well done. I got a fan club over there. Actually, it's nothing to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about is unity and presence. So if you want to put the next slide on. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me a verse for today. And this is the one that he gave me. In fact, you might start to hear me say she when I talk about the Holy Spirit. And that might confuse a lot of you. But I've just discovered that in Hebrew and Aramaic, whenever the Holy Spirit's talked about, it's in the female. And it's about she. And when I have, oh gosh, all these years of experience of her, I just find it, that's what she's like. So you might get a bit confused when I'm confused as well. But that's all right, we'll just have to meander together with it. Okay, but this is from John's Gospel. And it's chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. And Jesus says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Let's just stop there. This verse is the most central verse in the whole gospel. It's the heart of it. Jesus says, I am in you. Let's just stop there. It sums it up. Jesus is saying, I'm in you. I was thinking, occasionally do that. And in a few weeks' time, 13th of November, I will have known Jesus 42 years. 42 years. 42 years. And it's been stunning. That encounter with Jesus changed my past, changed my future, and made my present day happy. He just did everything. He did everything. And it's just, oh, so much. But this verse we were looking at in John 14, he said it just before he died. It was just before he went to the cross, and he was telling his disciples, I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me, and we're going to be in the Father. And that's what he was telling them. But the story starts long before that. It's in John 3, verse 16. You all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, our gospel starts with love and ends with a person. And I'm going to explain that. But it starts with a father who's absolutely desperate to get his kids back. And that revelation of the Father's love to us is the thing that has really, oh gosh, it just revolutionizes you. And so with Mr. McDowell coming in the 4th of October, something like that, you know, it's worth coming. Because that revelation of Father is just wonderful, wonderful. But you see, our Christian message is all one of a father who wants his children back, and he'll do it at any cost. The whole gospel is motivated by love, by a love that comes from a God who is love, from God who is always good, always good. Sometimes you may not understand, but he's always good. Next slide, are we there? Next slide. In the Good News Bible, Jesus it says, Jesus was without sin, but for our sake, Father God made him share our sin in order that in union with him, we may share his righteousness. And then from the New King James Version, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, that for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. You see, a wonderful divine exchange takes place. Jesus, who knew everything, Father, who knew everything, who looked at us and said, I want my children back. Father, who looked at us and said, there's one thing that stands in the way. There's one thing that causes a problem between us. And it's that Greek word called hamartia, which is that inward element that causes outward evil acts. And it just keeps happening in the world, doesn't it? You can just turn the news on and you'll find them. But you don't have to just listen to what's on the news. You can see it happening in people. And unfortunately, that Greek word hamartia, which we've translated as calling it sin, is the thing that separated us from Father. So Father has a plan, and he has a divine exchange in place, and the divine exchange is it's going to be his son Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin for our part, that we might become the righteousness of God, without us even having to do it. He did it, because it all comes out of love. No longer separated from God. No longer separated from a father who loves his children. No longer nothing in us that could ever separate us from Father's love. We are loved and brought into union with him. Union with Jesus. Now let's just come back to that first verse. Jesus said, I'm in the Father. You're in me. I'm in you. Let's just think about that. What does that mean? Him in me. Close your eyes. Take a breath. Just realize Jesus is breathing. Open your eyes. Look at somebody, realize Jesus is seeing them. Put your hand on somebody. Jesus is touching them. Your whole life is spent with Jesus, the Almighty, in you. In you. Oh, gosh. You don't have to go any further. The gospel is incredibly simple. He did everything for us. And all we need to do is believe. And he comes and is in us. Let's have the next slide. In Romans 6, verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And in Romans 6, 5, it says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." So we know that Jesus died and rose again on that third day. And we know from that revelation that Paul had in the Gospels, in the New Testament, that we have all been crucified with Christ. And that, of course, took place, you know, he's saying all of us. So the crucifixion happened 2,000 years ago. All of us have been crucified with Christ. It's before time he placed us in Christ. Oh, I can't get my head around it, but he placed us in Christ. The very thing that would stop us from being in Christ, he dealt with so that we could be in. I'm not out. I'm not out trying to get in. He put me in. I'm not in trying to keep in. I think his arms are pretty big. He keeps hold of me. 42 years. It's been pretty good. Pretty good. Even in that period of darkness of soul, you know, we use that phrase, we know what it's like. There are tough things in life. There are. You only have to be suffering some sort of illness, and it can be like a dark place. Or it can be in family problems, or it can be friends' problems, or it can be total confusion as to what I'm going to do with my life. And it can feel like darkness. Yet who's in there with you? Jesus. Who's seeing it with you? Jesus. Who's there in the midst of it? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Ah, what's he able to do? Everything. Oh, simple gospel. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're transformed into being like him. Just have a look at somebody around you and just realize that's what Jesus looks like. This is what Jesus looks like. Made in the image of God. That's what it says of us. We're made in the image of God. Before you were baptized, you were alienated from that life of God. But now that revelation came. You are then forever afterwards connected to the vine. Forever connected to the vine. Let's turn to the next slide. So we're still talking about unity and presence here, right? And I said it starts with love, Father's love, and it ends with a presence, the person, a person. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That word planted together is the Greek word symphutos. Symphutos, something like that. It makes it sound good, doesn't it? When you're preaching and you say, and the Greek word is, and everybody thinks, oh, they know Greek. I don't know Greek. I read it in a book, okay? Symphutos. And it means being born together or of joint origin. Planted together, being born together, of joint origin. You and he, one, planted together. And the best illustration, of course, we can use is what Jesus talked about in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. There it is. So we know that we can imagine a vine, can't we, growing up? I notice in many garden centres they sell vines. Either they're very robust to our climate or they have to be kept in a greenhouse, I think. Anyway, so you can see the vine, you can see the branch. The life of the vine, pulsating with life. It is impossible that that life does not go in the branch. It's therefore impossible that the branch doesn't bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. It's impossible that it doesn't. Because the life of Jesus flows through. I can tell you 42 years, it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. The vine and the branches are one. The life flows through the branches. I've been grafted in. It's a wonderful thing. Not only am I grafted in, I'm also, he's in me. Jesus in me. In me. He is in me. He is in me. Almighty God is in me. Still struggle with that. It's incredible. Okay? It's impossible to understand my life in isolation from Jesus. Totally impossible. Greek way of thinking would make you separate things. But we're not thinking like Greeks. We are thinking like born again, new believers, new creation. And it's impossible to see my life without seeing Jesus. It says in Acts 17, verse 28, "For in Jesus I live, I move, and I have my being." When I'm at work, it's Jesus. When I'm down the street, it's Jesus. When I'm doing love sale, it's Jesus. When I'm hugging somebody, it's Jesus. When I'm doing a financial transaction in the bank, it's Jesus. I can't do anything without him. And he can't do anything without me. He's totally in unified, in unity, chosen to be one with me, chosen to be... See, it's not just along. He's not alongside. He's in. And I'm in the Father. And I'm in him. That is the incredible wonder of the unity that we've been given. You see, from now on in, intimacy with God is not something I've got to long for. I already have it. Oh, now you. So much of my Christian life in the past has been, how do you get intimate with God? How do you become close to God? How do I ever get close enough to him? But as soon as I put that thought into my mind, I then separate Jesus from me. When I get the thought in my mind, I'm one with him. He's here. Time can stand still. Stuff can come in your house. And all the other incredible wonders of being in this wonderful kingdom of God. And we're going to see some later on in the video. So, intimacy. I have it. I am intimate with Jesus. You are intimate with Jesus. You are not left alone, not left struggling. You are one with him. Now, we don't have to plead God to rend the heavens and come down and do something. Because he already did. And in that process of coming, he opened heaven. And so each of us lives under an open heaven. And that's why we can pray that prayer. Because of the reality of the promise is true. The favor is true. It's ours. It's the benefit of being in the gospel. Oh gosh, the good news. It's the benefit of being right in the middle thingy bit that's just wonderful. That bit that's inside a donut that's really nice. You know, that's what it's like. Just, you're in it. In it. And I don't have to be worried that he's ever going to abandon me. Because he said he would not ever leave us as orphans. Remember what we said? I'll not leave you as orphans. 42 years of life with Jesus. Every prayer to him, his response to me is, I'm with you. I'm with you. And for long enough, I thought it was like he was stood alongside, like my best pal. Ah, but it's more than that. I am with you. What? I am in you. Every part of your life. Work. I can tell you loads of stories about work. So could Carl. Loads of stories about him being in you at work. In you in your relationships. In you in the ministry of God that, you know, he's asking you to do. In you in all the things that are just, oh, incredible. He's there with you. He's in you in those dark periods of the soul as well. Wherever you are, he is with you, in you. That you may have that unity and wonderful harmony with him. Next slide. So Ephesians says, let us give thanks to the God our Father. Sorry. Let us give thanks to the God our Father. Sorry, that's not right, is it? I've written something wrong there. It says, let us give thanks to the God our Father. Ah, on my sheet it says, let's give thanks to God no Father. So, did you change it for me? Anyway, mine's wrong. That's right. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Has he left anything out? No. Every blessing has been given to us, the Good News Bible. And then in Isaiah it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. How closer can you get than that? So the blessings of your union with Jesus are numerous. And we experience them. And that's why we get people to give testimonies. Because they're telling of their wonder, of the glorious union that they have with him who's Jesus, right? But they're all wonderful. But they pale into comparison with the ultimate purpose of union, which is to share in his life. That's what it is. That's the purpose of this union, sharing his life. Let the love flow, the love that he's placed in us. Paul Ellis, who wrote that book, Gospel in 10 Words, puts it like this. The gospel is not an advertising brochure for the treasures of the kingdom. Because it could sound like that, you know, come to Jesus and you'll get all these treasures. The gospel is the thrilling revelation that the lover of your soul, Jesus, desires to share his life in wedded union with you forever. So we were just thinking about Rachel and Rob's wedding up in Teesside today. It's such a picture of this relationship that we have with Jesus, that we would be one with him. He desires wedded union. And you know you're ready for that wedding now. You're not being prepared. It's like, it's now. You're already spotless. You're already righteous. You already got the white dress on. Mine looks fantastic. I'm having a tiara. We are in that relationship with Jesus. He wants to spend eternity in wedded bliss with us. Oh, gosh. It's just like, let's stop there. Wedded bliss with us for eternity. For those who believe it, the gospel is the joyful declaration that right now and forevermore, you're in perfect union with Jesus. Your days of restless wandering are over, for in Jesus you have already found the eternal rest. In Jesus you are already home. Oh, I'm already home. Something wonderful is happening in our church, and it's very unique, I think. Father's doing something special. I'm going to talk about it a bit more in October. He's doing something specially unique and wonderful amongst us. Godfrey Birtle expressed it the other time he was here. he said, you know, let's honor Andy and Sharon, because this is, it's just not, I don't see it whenever I go anywhere in the country. There's something happening. And it's this, I'll call it like family, unity, harmony, relationship, the wonder of being in wedded bliss with Jesus. And that all the outworking of that from our life. We are called into fellowship with God. He calls us, doesn't he? Draws us. You hear it. I mean, 42 years ago, I heard it. Irvin took me to an evangelistic meeting in Manchester University, and I heard a man say, Jesus died for you. And do you know what? I heard him say to me, not the man who's speaking, I heard God say to me. It's the Holy Spirit, actually. She's fantastic. I just thought I'd get the she in, so you keep following it, all right? She's fantastic. She just spoke to me and said, Alan, this is for you. And I remember going out the front. I didn't know what I was going to do. I came out the front. I just knelt down and said, Jesus, please. And I was saved. Do you know what happened? Immediately, my past was changed. The way I saw it changed. I mean, I grew up in a non-Christian family. My words that my dad said, the last words he said to me before I went to university was, don't get involved in religion, politics or race. There's no answers to any of them. Okay, what did I do? First term. The best thing ever. Oh, there certainly was an answer. And it changed me. And 42 years later, it's still changing me. It's still like, I'm sat on the chair today going, oh, Jesus, you're in me, you're in me, you're in me, you're in me. 42 years, you never left me. You're in me. It's amazing. Anyway, get back to this. Everything we could ever want out of life flows from this one privilege. Everything I could ever want from life flows from this one privilege. King David understood it, and he called it in Psalm 27, the one thing. All of life gets reduced to one thing, hosting his presence. Hosting his presence. And that's why I said it starts with love, a father who loves us and gave everything for us. And it ends with a person, Jesus, hosting him. He's in you. Oh. But this love that we have pouring out into us, over us, through us and around us is not a weak ishy-washy love. It's got teeth. It changes people. It changed me 42 years ago. And I've seen it in all of you. No, Rob, who's getting married today, walks in. First, you know, he doesn't know God, doesn't believe in Jesus, thinks Rachel's a bit odd, puts up with her, walks in there, and just falls in love with Jesus. It's just stunning. And it continues to happen. This gospel of ours has got teeth. We're going to watch a video now. And it's our friend Heidi Baker. And she shared this with me. I was at a conference where she was speaking. And she is a missionary to Mozambique. And thousands of people are getting saved in Mozambique. Not just saved, getting raised from the dead, healed, deaf hearing, blind seeing, people with leprosy being healed. This gospel of ours that Jesus gave us, this good news, which I've tried to amplify for us, or tried to express the awe of it, is just wonderful. And we're going to watch her. She's just been to a small town, village, and done a crusade. And at the end of that crusade, a witch doctor comes up to her with three venomous snakes. And the intention is he's going to kill Heidi Baker. And we're going to see what happens. Can we get the video? And can we get the lights down?
deciding how much people?
Are we struggling?
Went out of the bush, had a great time Thursday night. Lots of people healed and saved, delivered. It's beautiful. Just fantastic. Friday morning, we woke up and we were blessing the chief and we were greeting everyone, having a blast. And some people came and said, there's a man with some snakes.
He was a witch doctor. His girlfriend was a witch doctor. She had leprosy. She had no fingers left, no toes left, just little stubs. And he was there with three puffer adders, these crazy venomous snakes. And he came to just disrupt everything. And we just prayed, and I talked to him, and I just literally challenged him. And the Lord gave me a word for him that he was really, really tired. And I just said, you're so tired. You're tired of darkness. And even some of you watching, you know, I'm tired of darkness. I want to come into the light. Well, this man just looked at me, and I told him, you have to kill your snakes. And I've killed a lot of snakes. You know, venomous snakes are always there to hurt.
When he sat on the ground, I just saw the weight of the glory of the Lord just sitting on top of him. And so when he sat down, I knew that he was going to get saved today.
So we dug a really big hole in the name of Jesus. Those three venomous snakes just burned up. And that witch doctor came to Jesus. His girlfriend came to Jesus. It was so powerful. There was just suddenly this peace around them. Like God just put this glory and peace around them.
I was standing next to the witch doctor, and he looked down at his hands, and as that, all of that burning, the circle for burning, all of the venom and blood began to come out of his hands because he would fit me in time. They began to come out of his hands. And he looked down, and I looked over, and I put my hands on his hands, and I just said in the name of Jesus. And God completely healed me.
Yes. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Or when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands
in Europe.
And they will get well.
In Europe, so I asked him, do you want to be baptized? And he said, yes, I want to be baptized. I said, are you committed to each other? Do you want to be married? And he said, yes, we want to be married. We want to be married before God. We're going to follow Jesus. So the Lord just said, give him the ruby and diamond ring. And I was like, yes, Lord. And tell her she's a princess. Just put the ruby and diamond ring on her finger.
One day,
orphan to prince, leprosy, just take your fingers off it. And she was just undone. They looked each other in the eyes, and we did their baths right down there by the baptismal water. And I said, you want to be baptized now?
There's one of those rivers I told you about. Not a river.
Glory of Christ. Overtake all of that. It wasn't a showdown. It wasn't a fist fight. We weren't fighting like you would think. The way that it was completely overcome was by the love of Christ. And it was just the power of God. And of course, the whole village saw it. And we found out that this man was hated and feared by everyone because he was so dangerous. The police couldn't stop him. No one could kill him. And now he's a man of God. The whole village watched.
So now they're set free from the demons. They're set free from the evil power of the saints and all the witchcraft. And they came to know Jesus as their
Savior.
And then they came and they went into the baptismal waters. We had a lot for such a time as this.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. It's stunning, isn't it? She went on to say that his girlfriend, and now his wife, had leprosy. She had running sores all over her body as well as the stumps. And so you saw Heidi there praying with her, hugging her, whatever, just like Jesus did to the lepers. A couple of weeks later, Heidi's driving back, stops to buy some tangerines, and the wife now comes running to her, "Mama Heidi, Mama Heidi, Mama Heidi," and the leprosy is totally healed. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Jesus does. That's what I tell them. This love we're talking about has got teeth. And they're now, the couple, as you said, they got married. They've now got their own business. Heidi and her husband, Roland, was able to set them up in a business that they're running, a small holding that they've got. And he's now training to be a pastor of a church. And about 4 weeks after the event, the chief and elders of the region came to Heidi and Roland and said, "You have solved all our problems." And they said, "What do you mean solved all our problems?" They said, "Well, he was our problem, you know, the rich doctor. And he's come to know Jesus." And you know, the whole region came to know Jesus. Isn't it? And it's just wonderful. Jesus in you. Jesus in you. Jesus in you. He's here. He's here. Jesus in you. Some of you have said you don't know how to get this intimacy. He's here now. Ask him. Just realize he's in you. Some of you may never have given your life to Jesus or know what it's like. Now's the time just to say, please. It says quite clearly, if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth, we will be saved. Saved means the whole gambit of the gospel happens to you. All of it. Just close your eyes. And just talk to him now. Just talk to Jesus. As I said, he's here. Acknowledge your unity with him. Acknowledge his presence with you. Let the encounter of him change your past, change your future, and make today happy. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Reveal him more. Reveal how wonderful he is. Reveal how glorious Jesus is. We just invite you more. Take us deeper into that unity, into that realization of what you have done. That we may live it and live in the reality of love that's got teeth. In love sail, as Sharon was saying about hugging people. About missing people, like we heard in the cemetery, just blessing them with love and knowing what that's like. Jesus, we thank you. If anybody wants to talk about this relationship with Jesus, I'm quite happy to talk to them. And if you want to get that realization, this intimacy is something that you have, then certainly pray with you, okay? But we thank you, Father, that you so loved us, that you sent your Son, that he may be in us forever. Amen.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.